Lecture 22. Laws.
Hammurabi is best known to history from the long list of laws attributed to him. In this respect, he follows a tradition of kings as dispensers of justice. In this lecture, we will survey the types of Mesopotamian law that have survived. From the earliest laws dating to the very end of the 3rd millennium BC, to Hammurabi's laws of the 18th century, and finally to the 11th century Middle Assyrian codes and edicts. First, we will look at the laws that survived to get a sense of the social ills that they attempted to redress. And then we will consider what the purpose of law codes was. This probably seems obvious, but in fact, scholars increasingly see the term law code as anachronistic and a misrepresentation both of the purpose and the use of these law collections. A law code implies that the laws represent all of the legal precepts that are in use at the time. But even the longest set of laws, that of Hammurabi, over 200, does not provide a comprehensive legal framework that could really order a society. Finally, we will look at the Middle Assyrian precepts that regulated the appearance and behavior of the royal court, especially female courtiers. These are a sort of different type of law, but they're very interesting because they show a distinct shift in how women are supposed to behave. The earliest collection of laws dates to the Ur III period, and remember that was from 2112 to 2004 BC. It's a list of about 40 laws that address homicide, family issues, and personal injury. The laws are assigned to Ur-Nammu, the founder of the Ur III dynasty, or to Shulgi, his son who followed him. Currently, scholars lean towards assigning the laws to Ur-Nammu, so we will follow that assumption. The text includes a prologue, which is a very common feature of Mesopotamian law codes, and this prologue is focused on the king. It sets out the situation of the king, mostly focused on which gods approved him, and also his tasks as ruler. So they're very repetitive. We've gotten pretty used to the idea of what a king does. But the prologue can also list the cities or regions that a king governed, so they can be very useful for helping us assign a date to the law code, and we know when the law code was sent out in the reign of a king. Ur-Nammu describes how he regulated trade and traffic on the rivers and highways in his prologue, and he made them safe for his people. He also writes that, "I did not deliver the orphan to the rich. I did not deliver the widow to the mighty. I did not deliver the man with one shekel to the man with one mina. I did not deliver the man with but one sheep to the man with one ox." And this phrase sets out an economic and social order that is present in our earliest surviving law code. Ur-Nammu continues that, "I eliminated enmity, violence, and cries for justice. I established justice in the land." So this is the purpose of his law code, to show that he is overseeing all of the needs of his people, and he concludes with a focus on justice, without which the rest of society can't really run effectively. With this prologue, I'm sure you are ready to hear what the first law is, and indeed the first law states, "If a man commits a homicide, they shall kill that man." Followed by, "If a man acts lawlessly," and the word here is uncertain, "they shall kill him." We would really like to know the meaning of that specific word. What does lawlessly mean, since it incurs such a harsh judgment?